in 1 Corinthians 14 is about the fact that prophecy is a valid role in life. Actually, that's out of Acts. Prophecy is a valid role in life. It must be God. And I think Philip Yancey actually has a quote where he talks about this little girl praying and saying, "Lord, please make the bad people good and the good people nice." So, you know, it's about the whole thing of the prophecy, any role that we have, whether it's prophetic, whether it's being a teacher, pastor, prophet, whatever it is, occurs within a loving relationship with God and occurs within a loving community. So it appears within the unity and the community of God. Prophecy is for the strengthening, the encouragement and the comfort of people. So all of us can prophesy at that level and we should all eagerly desire to do it. And because it's for the building up of the church. So it's one of the foundation gifts of actually making the church strong in its faith and strong in maturing in their faith. And the last point that we looked at was that prophecy can and should be tested. So just because someone says, "Oh, look, I really think God is saying this morning," or "I've got a picture," or whatever it was, it's our responsibility to take that away and actually then pray over it and say, "Is this really from God? Is this for now, or is this for later, or is, you know, did the person just eat a bad pizza last night?" So it's up to us to test that. Okay, so this week what I want us to look at and start thinking about is, how does it actually work? It's okay within the four walls, you know, in some place, at some point this is safe. You know, we know most of the people here and we feel comfortable praying for people here. But how does that actually work when we walk out the door? And given that we're only here for maybe 2 hours a week, and we spend most of our life out in our job, out with our families, asleep, eating, how does it actually work out there? Many years ago, I was sitting at work at my desk and remembered that one of the women who was in my first mother's group, so Matthew's now 14, we're going back many years, you know, I remembered that one of the mothers in my first mother's group had just had her second baby. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning and I thought, "Oh, I should go visit Judy." And then I thought, "No, it's not visiting hours." So then I started having this little argument with myself. "I should go visit Judy." "Yeah, but it's not visiting hours. You know, we'll just put it off till late." "No, I really should go visit Judy." I'll ring the hospital. I rang the hospital. It was visiting hours from 11 to 12. How bizarre. Hospitals never have visiting hours from 11 to 12, but this one particularly did. I went, thought I'll take an early lunch break. Walked out, hopped in the car. It was down in Geelong. You can park and you can drive pretty quickly anywhere, so it's not like in Melbourne where it'll take you 20 minutes to get to the hospital. So drove to the hospital, parked outside, because in Geelong there are always parks outside the hospital. And as I walked into her hospital room, a friend of hers was there. I didn't know. She was holding the baby. She says, "Oh, I was just leaving." Handed me the baby, walked out the door. I said to my friend, "How are you going?" She bursts into tears, tells me that the baby's sick and they're just about to take the baby off to special care nursery, and she was quite upset. I think it was day one or two of this baby's life. So I say to her, "Can I pray for you?" She went, "Would you?" Seems to have, that's a common theme in my life. So I stood there, we closed our eyes, I put my hand on her shoulder, I prayed. I don't remember what I prayed. I prayed for about 2 minutes, maybe even that, I don't know, can't remember. Took my hand off her shoulder, said amen, opened her eyes, and another friend walked through the door. I handed the baby back to my friend Judy, walked outside, sat in my car and went, "I think God might have sorted that one out." You know, the timing of it, I left my work, I got prompted to leave, drove there, walked in as the friend was leaving. We had 2 or 3 minutes alone before someone else arrived. It was just enough time for God to give her comfort. Years later, I saw her driving past, because in Drysdale where we lived, you see everyone driving past because it's so small. So I saw her driving past and thought, "I should go visit Judy." So I went and knocked on her door and she let me in, thankfully. Turns out that her marriage was falling apart. So I sat with her at a dining room table as she was telling me how her marriage was falling apart, and then I said to her, "Can I pray for you?" And she went, you know I'm going to cry again. She said, honestly, somewhere in my house there is a present that I bought for you, because years, this is like 5 years later, because years ago when you came to the hospital and you prayed with me that day, that was the most amazing thing that happened, and I felt like God was there. And I bought you a present, but I've lost it. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere here. But you know I'll cry again if you pray. So I prayed and she cried and, you know, we moved on. But it was those instances where you go, hang on a minute, was that me? You know, in and of myself, I generally can't make people cry. You know, I don't go out of my way to do that. But when God is in it, when God prompts us to ask a question or to dig a little bit with someone, generally that is when God will bring about comforting, strengthening and encouraging each other. Now, Judy wasn't a Christian. She believed in God, but she wasn't an active follower of Christ. And so for her, they were points in time where God intervened in her life in an amazing way. Now, I would say that they were nudges from God, prophetic nudges of God, for me to go and see her at the point in time that she needed that to happen. So isn't that what we want to know? We want to know, as we're going through life, those points in time when God can nudge us so that we can reach people right at that exact point that God knows they need it, and for the exact reason that God knows they need it. So what I want us to look at today is let's have a look at Acts, have a bit of a look at what Paul did. If I could title my sermon anything today, it would be, just a minute, I need to hear from God. Because sometimes I think we think about prophetic as, I just need to go on the zone. And, oh, God's spoken to me. But most of the time, honestly, God speaks to all of us all the time, and it's the gentle nudges that we need to recognise as God speaking to us to then move forward. And as we respond to those, and as we grow in confidence, then we see God move more and more through us. Does that make sense? So let's have a look at Paul in Acts 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions travelled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mycenae and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And then it talks about how they went through Troas, went out to sea straight from the places, I'm not sure, the city gates to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer with purple cloth, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer of the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house, and she persuaded us. So there's a number of things that's here in the passage that can give us keys about what it is and how God works. So let's, verse 6, if we look, Paul and his companions are travelling around. And if you read in previous chapters, it talks a lot about Paul's first missionary journey. This one's during his second missionary journey, which went for a period of about 3 years. So we're not talking a week, we're talking years of his life that it took him to travel through these areas. They're not short distances, so we blithely give off these names of places, but the reality is that there's quite some distance between them, so it would have taken him a fair period of time to travel between those places. So verse 6, where Paul and his companions travel through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. The interesting thing I note is that the Holy Spirit kept their mouth shut. And often that's something that we can remember too, that when God speaks to us, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to automatically say it out loud. You know, at times God will give us things to say, but to pray through rather than just to speak. So be mindful that God can actually keep your mouth shut, and be aware of when to speak and when not to. So it's about wisdom around that, isn't it? When they came to the border of Mysia in verse 7, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to enter. So God prevented them from entering. Now you can hypothesize about how he prevented them from entering. You know, was it that there just wasn't any transport available at the time? Were there border crossings that didn't allow them to go through? You know, in the historians amongst us would say, well, in that state there would be X, Y, and Z. But you can hypothesize that God spoke to them and said, don't go there, or it just may well be that circumstances occurred that prevented them from going through there. And they naturally saw that it was God organising and orchestrating things in that manner. So the ordinary things of life, we could say, prevent us from doing things, and that may well be God shaping us and directing us in a certain area. So we then skip to seeing how Paul had a vision of the Macedonians standing and begging him, come over here, and that vision provided direction on how to go. When he actually got to Macedonia, what did he do? They waited till the Sabbath and they went out to a place of prayer. Were they there to pray? I don't know, but I suspect Paul's method was that whenever he went to a town, he went to the synagogue. He went to the place where the worshippers met and he engaged them in discussion. So it would be reasonable to say that they worked out where it was that religious people met and he went there to engage with them. So he had some measure of intentionality about it. But he just started chatting. And Lydia, who we would probably say is a person of peace, started talking with him. And God moved through that situation. So we can see that Paul was intentional about his actions, but he was also being able to be flexible and move in the way that God wanted him to move. The two things in this passage that come out for me, the questions that come out, how do I work out when God is speaking to me? And am I willing to be interrupted in my daily life by God? Because Paul clearly was willing to be interrupted in where he wanted to go. They wanted to go into areas to preach, but their mouth was kept shut. They wanted to go somewhere else. God prevented them from doing it. He was willing to have his plans interrupted to keep going. So they're the two things I want us to think about this morning is, how do I work out that God is speaking to me, and am I willing in my daily life to be interrupted by God in the ways and the habits that we have every single day of the year? Remembering that Paul was an ordinary man who did extraordinary things through the power of God. We are all ordinary people, and therefore it would be a valid assumption to say that we all have the capacity to do extraordinary things empowered by the Spirit of God. There's not one of you here who doesn't have that capacity. So Paul is no, you know, he's not some super spiritual, well, he was a very intelligent man, but God used him in amazing ways. All right, so Lily Tomlin makes the observation, when we talk to God, we say it's praying. When God talks to us, it says that we're schizophrenic. So how do we actually work out, without thinking that we're strange, is God talking to us? Is the Christian faith just a set of beliefs and rituals that we undertake, or is it a dynamic relationship with God? Clearly what we want is that dynamic relationship. So when I look at the Bible, I see time and time again God intervening and speaking to individuals. Moses, Abraham, Jeremiah, Paul, Jesus, clearly, disciples. Sometimes we think they're exceptional humans, but they're not. They're just like us. So God wants to have an ongoing conversation with us on a one-to-one basis. That's part of the foundation of us understanding how to do us. God speaks to us within the context of an ongoing daily relationship that we have. You can't just turn around and say one day, if you've ignored God, oh God, I really need you now. He may well speak, but God is not going to go where he's not wanted. So if we ignore God, then we can't then turn around and say, well, why is God not speaking to us? It has to be within that context of an ongoing relationship on a daily basis. So there are a number of ways in the Bible that we see that God speaks to us. This includes things like phenomena plus voice. So there are things like Abraham with the burning, with the fire burning Abraham's sacrifice in Exodus 3, the burning bush, Ezekiel being addressed in the context of a meteorological, you know, one of those displays meteorological display in Ezekiel chapters 1 and 2. So it defies all but poetic description, is how someone put it. The baptism of Jesus, where the heavens open and the voice from above. Saul's encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, where there was a blinding light and an audible voice. So you see God speaking through a phenomena plus his voice. The second one is a supernatural messenger or an angel. So you've got situations in the Bible of supernatural beings on a divine mission. So God addressing people through them, although they don't always leave their calling card. So you've got situations in Genesis 18, the two men appearing at Abraham's tent. Joshua in front of Jericho encounters the captain of the Lord of hosts. The women at the empty tomb. So you see a number of occasions within Scripture of messengers or angels coming. You've got dreams and visions. So Paul being given direction in this passage through a vision. Ananias receiving a vision in Acts 8. Peter in his rooftop trance where the rug descended with all the food on it. So there are a number of ways through dreams and visions that God speaks. And then we come to the audible voice situations like Samuel learning to listen to God, Abraham as he was about to sacrifice Isaac. So God speaking audibly where a number of people could hear. Human voice, you know, often it might be a human voice in the form of Moses. So God using actual people to speak to others. And then you come to... Oh, I've just mixed up my notes. And then you come to... Last but not least, the most important one, because that's one that God mostly speaks to us, and that's the still small voice. In 1 Kings, we get the passage where it talks about, go out and stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass you by. Great wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. There was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but God was not in the fire. So all these spectacular things occurred, and then at the end, God was in the gentle whisper, the still small voice that we all hear. Mark Verkler, who's a writer around prophetic issues, says the voice of the Holy Spirit registers as a chance idea that intersects your mind, not flowing from the normal processes, but simply appearing in your heart. This is God's voice, an idea from God, lighting upon your heart and registering in your mind as a spontaneous thought. God's voice often sounds like the unspoken thoughts that run through your mind. And so remembering 2 weeks ago, we talked about testing it. So you can have unspoken thoughts that run through your mind that aren't necessarily from God, things that are accusations, things that put you down, often those, you know, the trains of thoughts, messages that you keep running through your mind, clearly they're not from God. God speaks in the still small voice, and it often has a depth and a quality to it that rests with your spirit. Now, I find it sometimes it's hard to describe, but it's like it sits here rather than here. So we think through things, but it has a depth and a quality to it that goes beyond our own. And the outworking of it is when we respond to those things and we see extraordinary things happen, clearly that's God. So does that make sense? We have a thought that lights on our mind. Go and ring someone. You should go and say, oh, wouldn't it be good if you blah, blah, blah. When you actually carry those through, you see extraordinary things happen. And often it's only in hindsight that we can recognise that God is in that situation. So how do we hear from God? Part of it is a confidence thing. We put ourselves in the presence of God. We seek to learn Scripture. It's an ongoing relationship. And as we start moving out with those promptings, we gain confidence about knowing that God is in that. The other question that we have to ask is, are we willing to be interrupted in the things that we do day to day to allow God to move us somewhere else? So one of the things is I'm sitting at work. I never have lunch at 11 o'clock. Who eats at 11 o'clock? Well, maybe some of you do, but I don't. Never have lunch at 11 o'clock. You should take an early lunch break, go and see your friend in the hospital. I'm not doing that. Now, sometimes I've got a friend who works, who has an amazing sense of prophetic movement out into the community. She starts to say she knows it's God when she argues. with herself. I'm not doing that. Well, that's a stupid idea. Oh, maybe it's God. So what I find is if I'm starting to argue with myself is, why am I doing that? Oh, maybe I should. Is it going to hurt anyone if I do? Oh, look, that person over there doesn't look very happy. Maybe I should just go and have a chat to them. As we put ourselves more and more in the situation of caring for people, remember, context, loving relationship with God, loving relationship with the community, we care about each other. As we are aware more and more about just chatting with people and moving with God, He will work through you to meet other people. We're at the coffee shop 2 weeks ago. I'm standing in line. I'm waiting for my coffee. They seemed a little bit overwhelmed by the number of us there, but that was okay. They got a bit more patronage that morning. That was good. This woman's just standing there who wasn't from our church. And so I just went, sorry about your wait. If you're going to be waiting a while, you know, we just decided to descend. So we just started chatting about things, and it works out, turns out. Her daughter comes here for theatre bugs every week, every Tuesday. So I then call David over and go, this is Nadine. And oh, that's a bad look. This is Nadine. This is David. David's in the office. You should say hello when you come past. So it's just making those connections as we're just walking through life, streams of living water flowing out through us, God prompting us to do things. Often we don't sit there and have to say, just wait a minute, I need to hear from God. Right, I'm there now. No, come on. It's just about caring for people and God will use you. Is it prophetic or not? Ultimately, God will use you, and in hindsight, you'll be able to recognise that, yes, it was prophetic, that God prompted you to do something, and as you grow in confidence, you recognise that those promptings need to be acted on. So you're less inclined to argue with God and more inclined to just go with the flow. Streams of living water flowing out through you. And as we go with the flow, we will touch people and people will encounter the kingdom of God right where we are. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's in mothers' groups, whether it's a playgroup, kinder, wherever it is, when you keep your eyes open, then God will use you. So let's recap, because we're just about to head out. The key is to learn when and how to respond. So there are times of thinking, gee, she doesn't look happy. Maybe pray through it. If you don't get the opportunity that day, go home and pray for them. There was a woman at one of my children's kinder groups who one day she arrived looking a bit flustered, and I just said, are you all right? She burst into tears. There is a theme. I didn't get a chance. She just started talking a little bit about how her life was. So this is the thing, though. You start being interested in people and genuinely caring for them, and these things happen. You know, there is no rocket science. You just have to say, are you okay? And you genuinely care for people, and they will start talking to you about things. So she told me a few things and then she had to leave and she never came back to the kinder again. And I just kept praying for her. She just kept coming in my mind, so I kept praying for her. I was walking along at work one day in the hospital and she was sitting in the waiting room. So I sat down with her and we then had probably a six-month friendship where I was just praying for her but aware of making connections when I could. So it was one of those times where God just allowed that instant and I responded. Now, I'm not saying that I'm perfect and not everyone I talk to cries, and not every time I hear God do I respond. But it's a thing of putting ourselves out there and then allowing God to move through us, being genuinely caring about other people and interested in their lives. So that comes out of the context of the ongoing relationship with God and the ongoing relationship with our community. So as we go out today and we walk along, we're not scared about the fact that we're Christians and we're not Jehovah's Witnesses doing the door knocking. We're just walking in our community saying, God, open my eyes to what's going on here. So as we walk out today, the key is not to feel concerned about, are we looking kooky? You know, we're going to have our eyes open. But God, just open our eyes to see opportunities where you want to encounter the people that are here every day. We have to understand we work from a basis of we have everything. We have God. You know, we have everything we could possibly want in our relationship, and therefore it's not about being ashamed of who we are. We are God's emissaries. We are God's messengers. And prophetically moving through you, he will reach amazing amounts of people, and we will see extraordinary outcomes from very ordinary actions. We're all very ordinary people, aren't we? But we can see extraordinary things happen. Part of the reason I love the song Hosanna is the bridge. Open my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. That's about what is it that motivates us. God's heart is for the lost. And so what motivates us is for God to break our heart like his heart is broken. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As we walk from earth into eternity, I got it right. As we walk from earth into eternity, remembering the perspective we have an eternal life in front of us. So that eternal perspective and what happens on earth is for God to break our hearts and for us to move out and love like he has loved us. Now, that's not a guilt thing. It's not about, oh, I haven't done anything. It's about, God, just give me the opportunities and help me to respond. So, 5 to 11, we need to move out. Do you want me to pray before you come up and give instructions? Let's pray. Father, I just pray today that as we walk out from here, you would give us a profound sense of peace of you walking with us. You would give us a profound sense of eyes wide open. That we would see opportunities for your kingdom to come in this community in ways that we have no concept about. Lord, that as we see you work through us, may there be just chance conversations today where people can say, hi, how are you going? And we see you work through their lives. So, Lord, in our discomfort, challenge us. In our desire to serve you, grow us in your faith. And help us to see you work through us as we seek to bring your kingdom to the community in which we live. Amen.